This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Bob Holsworth, formerly of VCU, is the president and founder of VirginiaTomorrow.com. Must reading for anybody who wants to understand and track politics in Virginia. Bob joins us on Wednesday afternoon. Talk a little politics. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing great, Coy. How are you today?
Very good. Was your weekend all right?
It was fabulous.
Good. Washington Post, Bob. Let's start with that story because that seems to be one of the headlines taking shape today. A recent article in the Washington Post by Amy Gardner that essentially attempted to demythologize Terry McAuliffe, candidate for governor, for the Democratic nomination for governor, to demythologize and look into his background as a business leader. He is, of course, on the stump claiming that he has created 100,000 jobs and that he is the guy that can create jobs because he's done that as a business leader. Your reaction to the article that the Moran campaign is sending out, it seems every hour they're sending out a word that the Washington Post has torn down Terry McAuliffe's reputation.
Well, Coy, it was actually quite a good article by Amy Gardner. I think what she did was that she took an issue that has been kind of percolating a little below the surface here. The Moran camp for months have been trying to interest reporters in a story in which they've suggested that far from creating a lot of jobs, Terry McAuliffe was the kind of business person who came in and might have, in some instances, in order to cut expenses, actually reduce jobs in some places. So what Amy Gardner did for the Post is that she did a pretty exhaustive study of McAuliffe's business dealings. And it turns out that he's the kind of businessman who in part has been an investor and a venture capitalist, and in part has been involved in trying to turn around a couple of companies. And at the end of the day, my sense was that what it showed is that there have been some cases where McAuliffe probably clearly exaggerated his accomplishments. But at the same time, I didn't get the sense that it was this big blockbuster, that Terry McAuliffe was somehow involved in scandalous activities of the sort that people have been railing about for certain businesses over the past few months. And my sense is that at the end of the day, to a lot of Democrats, they're going to wonder, what's the big deal about this? They're either going to like Terry McAuliffe because he is a business person and because he looks like he can really promote economic development and growth in Virginia, just like, let us say, George Allen did in 1994. And at the same time, there's going to be a number of Democrats as well who are not going to vote for Terry McAuliffe, who are not going to like him because they think he's an interloper, somebody who's really spent most of his time working outside Virginia and really hasn't done the groundwork that would enable him to be a good candidate for governor. So my sense was that while the Moran camp has been playing this up as if it was this tremendous game changer in the campaign, what I thought it was a pretty good, balanced story that showed where McAuliffe has done well, showed where there may be some questions about his record and maybe some exaggerations about a couple of the things he said. But at the end of the day, I didn't get the sense, at least today, that this was a big game changer.
So Amy Gardner was simply doing what good reporters do when a politician is on the stump and claiming XYZ. They research XYZ and set the record straight.
Well, I think that's exactly what she did. I mean, I think she did a very exhaustive job here. I think she went through any number of business ventures that McAuliffe has had. I think that she showed in a couple of places where his words seemed to be a little too exuberant for the accomplishments. But at the same time, I didn't get the sense that there was any clear scandal in this story, anything that would disqualify Terry McAuliffe from running for governor. And in fact, there were certain things that were very positive. You know, he does seem to be a great salesman. He does seem to be able to bring people together on around some common interest in these dealings, financial interests. But you know, I think it showed both his skills and that there was a little sense of hyperbole in some of his claims. But at the end of the day, the Moran camp's sense that this is going to change the nature of the campaign dramatically, I have to say I don't see it.
We're talking with Bob Holsworth of VirginiaTomorrow.com. Bob, there's been a few debates now. The Sorensen Institute, where I hang my hat during the day, we sponsored one of the debates down in Danville for these three Democratic candidates for governor. And what's your take on what you've seen and or heard in some of these debates so far?
I wasn't able to make the debates myself, so I'm reliant on these newspaper accounts to suggest what I think about it. But my sense is that, again, Brian Moran is attempting to define himself as the clear progressive in the race. I thought it was very interesting that gay and lesbian rights became so prominent last week, where Moran suggested that he would actually work as governor to repeal the marriage amendment, something both Deeds and McAuliffe said, even if you wanted to do it, wouldn't be a good use of your time since the public has just voted overwhelmingly for it. Later on, of course, Deeds even suggested that some of Moran's rhetoric wasn't fully matched by his own rhetoric, by his own record, that he is engaged in some hyperbole as well. But that was what Moran was trying to do, to find himself as the most progressive candidate in the race. I think McAuliffe believes that every time he's on the stage with the two other Democrats, it's good for him because at the end of the day, he is going to gain credibility the more time he spends, you might say, in the middle of a Virginia political debate. Cree Deeds sees this as an opportunity to try to define both McAuliffe and Moran as people who are really going to have a very difficult time getting elected. Moran, perhaps because he's a little too liberal for Virginia, McAuliffe because he's this interloper, and what Deeds is trying to do is to make the case that he's best positioned and best suited to be elected governor. The dilemma, I think, of all of this is that in primary campaigns, not a lot of people pay attention to debates. They don't get a lot of play on the air. They're not televised for the most part. They're certainly not televised statewide. And so debates aside, what most people are going to hear from the candidates are going to come from the candidates themselves. And I think the difficulty that faces both Moran and Deeds is McAuliffe has more resources to deliver a message about himself.
And we're talking with Bob Holdsworth. Meanwhile, on the other side of the aisle, Bob McDonnell doesn't seem to be getting a tremendous amount of attention lately. Is that by design, or what's going on?
Well, I think McDonnell would be hoping he'd get a little more attention than he has. Last week, you know, Coy, both McDonnell and Bowling issued a joint energy program, which they think is really going to be a central part of their campaign. They're going to argue that the Democrats don't have an energy platform. All they have is a endorsement of green forms of energy, which the Republicans believe that while they're an element of a full-scale comprehensive energy policy, aren't sufficiently reliable or sufficiently inexpensive at the moment to be your sole source of energy. And so here they go. They go release this statement, and it turns out that it was the same day Bill Clinton was in town for McAuliffe, and it seemed that all the political oxygen that day went to Bill Clinton. I spoke to a number of reporters that morning myself and actually said that I thought that the McDonnell Bowling release was an important feature of the campaign, important point. But at the end of the day, the media just saw it as a yawner and received very little attention. The attention McDonnell is getting right now, actually, turns out to come from the National Democrats, such as the Democratic Governors Association, that's funding ads attacking McDonnell for his position on unemployment insurance benefits. So my sense is that McDonnell was hoping that he'd be getting a lot more press, particularly positive press, about this energy release last week. But you know, you're dependent on how the media are going to cover it, and as I said, they simply yawned.
We're talking with Bob Holdsworth of VirginiaTomorrow.com. We're going to take a very quick break and continue this conversation on the other side. But when we get back, Bob, let's talk about this town in Virginia. The city council has banned its own mayor from visiting City Hall unless he gives them prior notice. That coming up in just a minute on Charlottesville Right Now. Let's rejoin our conversation with Bob Holdsworth of VirginiaTomorrow.com. Required reading for anybody who wants to know what's going on in Virginia politics. Bob, you wrote this post under the title, "You Can't Make This Stuff Up," and indeed that is true. What in the world is going on in Colonial Beach?
I think everybody's wondering that who's been looking at this story, that a couple of weeks ago they started telling the mayor that he really shouldn't be showing up too much at City Hall, and then City Council last week passed a resolution saying that they were going to ban him from City Hall because the manner in which he hovers near the workers and treats them has created an intimidating atmosphere.
So Colonial Beach, which for folks who don't know is east of Fredericksburg, I guess it's out Route 3.
Out Route 3, it has quite an interesting storied history. And at one time, it was kind of the gambling capital of Virginia.
I did not know that. Wow.
Years and years ago, it's out on the Potomac, and it's a very interesting place. And Westmoreland County has always been a very interesting place. But this story is pretty amazing that the council ordered the city attorney to send the mayor a no trespassing letter.
My goodness. I have never heard of this. The city.
I'm wondering what happens when he needs to meet with a constituent.
Yeah, so the mayor of Colonial Beach, Virginia, is not allowed at City Hall unless he gives prior notice and they know he's coming.
Get special permission.
My goodness. Well, it'll be interesting to see how that plays out.
Right.
What is this about radicalization at Virginia University?
Well, you know, Coy, about a week and a half ago, the Fusion Center, which is a division of the state police, which is charged with protecting Virginia from terrorist threats, released a report, or the report was released. How it actually came out, I'm not exactly sure, and it shouldn't have come out because supposedly their reports are supposed to remain private. But in the report, it noted that the Virginia universities were radicalization nodes, it said, for extremists of every sort. And in particular, it pointed to some of what goes on at historically black colleges and universities and expressed anxiety about Regent University, Pat Robertson School down in Virginia Beach.
And Bob McDonald's alma mater.
Well, you can where he got his law degree.
Right, right.
Well, you can imagine that the university presidents were very upset by this, could not believe that this was put out without any clear information that suggested that there was confirmation of these accusations at all. And, the HBCUs and then Pat Robertson's university, well, anyway, embarrassed the governor. And the governor has now himself launched an investigation into how this report, A, got published, but B, how the materials in the report actually got put into print. What in the world was going on that led to this? And the governor last week reinforced and reiterated his belief that none of this is going on at Virginia universities, that Virginia universities are not containing radical cells, and that this was a highly unfortunate report, and I might say somewhat embarrassing to Governor Kaine, given the direction that the Obama administration is taking on this issue.
And, of course, this comes on the heels of a national study, which also studied extremists and...
Well, and that one was, in some ways, equally unusual and equally weird in its findings, where they said that they were very worried about potential terrorist action taken by disgruntled veterans and talk radio listeners, Coy.
Goodness gracious.
So you got to watch out about your audience.
What are they going to think of next? Bob Holsworth is with VirginiaTomorrow.com. Bob, what's the latest on this unemployment insurance benefits? It looked like free money that the federal government was offering Virginia, and the conservatives, the Republicans in the General Assembly turned the tide and turned that money down.
They turned the money down, and they argued that it was essentially what they called an unfunded mandate. They said that Virginia had to change its unemployment laws in such a way that it was going to cost businesses a lot more money, it was going to make them far more reluctant to hire part-time workers, which is going to be, in some sense, the first thing they would have done coming out of the recession because of the changes in the law that Governor Kaine proposed in order to enable us to comply with the federal regulations and get the money. The Democrats immediately attacked the GOP, said they were heartless, that they wanted to penalize those people who were suffering the most. The GOP lost the first round of the public relations war. Last week, they came back with letters from dozens of business leaders. They sent letters to the Virginia congressional delegation asking them to take the so-called strings off the money, so that Virginia wouldn't have to change its laws but still could get additional dollars in stimulus funding for people who are unemployed. My sense is that it's very difficult to reverse a public relations loss in politics once it's happened. And while the GOP has been very active and energetic and has mobilized a very substantial part of the business community, my sense is that Bob McDonald is not going to, at the end of the day, want to fight the election on this issue. What he's going to have to try to do is to pivot in such a way in order to focus on who really has the best plan for job creation, who really has the best plan for keeping taxes low, and try to suggest that that's far more important an issue than the single issue of unemployment insurance benefits.
Bob, I was actually shocked to see Republicans turn that money down, because I thought one of their talking points has always been, we want to make sure that you get your money back from the government, you keep as much money as you can. That was our money.
Well,
it's going to California.
Yeah, that the reality of it, that was the initial position that Bob McDonald took. That if you go back, actually, I'll plug my blog for a bit. If you look at Virginia Tomorrow, McDonald was asked by Norm Leahy over at Tertium Quids what his position was on this, whether Virginia should take the Jindal position and not take the unemployment insurance money on the grounds that there were too many strings attached. And the original position that was outlined was to say that we should take it, largely because of the very reasons that you outlined. It was our money and it was ridiculous to turn it over to other states. But what happened is that a huge portion of the Virginia business community became energized by this issue. They became very, very concerned about what the impact would be on them over time. Beyond that, all the House Republicans, or the vast majority of House Republicans, became very, very concerned about this. And I think McDonald adjusted his thinking on the basis of the concerns that were being expressed, and he then endorsed the rejection of these dollars as well. The Democrats think they have a big issue because all they're doing with it is just saying that the Republicans are heartless. And they're going to hit this issue, I think, every week until it's seen that the public doesn't care about it any longer. So my sense is that for Bob McDonald and the Republicans, they're going to have to elevate the kind of question away from single issue of unemployment insurance benefits to who has the best plan for really allowing the Virginia economy to grow, prosper, and employ people at the level that they want to be employed.
Talking with Bob Holdsworth, VirginiaTomorrow.com. Bob, last question, got about a minute left. It looks like the GOP, the national GOP, is going to target Tom Perriello's run for re-election in Virginia's 5th District.
That's an obvious thing to do, that you try to knock incumbents out in their first time, because if you don't get them the first time after re-election, it gets progressively difficult to defeat them. The only thing I would say is that, boy, Perriello is one of the hardest workers I've ever seen. He's back in that district all the time. He's been really working hard for some of the most distressed areas in that district, Martinsville and Danville. Just had a big announcement last week about stimulus dollars with Governor Kane. Maybe you can defeat him, but it's going to be very, very tough. And anyone who thinks he's an easy target is really mistaken.
Bob Holdsworth, the founder and president of VirginiaTomorrow.com, formerly of VCU. Bob, always great to talk to you. Have
always
a terrific
great to
week.
Be on your show, Coy.
Thanks so much.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit seavillepodcast.com for more.